Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
The showdown of the Malivore siblings goes down tonight. Plus, Professor Vardimus is no more. And how did we go from two Landons to none? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, the buzz.
Hey, everybody. We are so glad that you're joining us for Legacies. Hope everyone had a wonderful Thanksgiving. But I'm not going to lie, I really, really missed you all last week, and I missed an episode of Legacies. I'm your host, Haley Graves, and joining me is the queen of AfterBuzz TV, Miss Shiksha Matani. Shiksha's on six shows at AfterBuzz, y'all. And not only that, she dedicates half of those shows to Supernatural. She's on Flash, Legacies, and Orphan Black.
What can I say? I just love it so much.
Awesome. Well, it's good to have you here, Shiksha. And guys, tonight, I'm just going to give you a little rundown of what we're going to be talking about. We're going to obviously dive into these two Landons that we got teased with this week. Then we're going to touch a little bit on the Sphinx and everything that he decided to drop on us in this episode. Then we'll kind of make our way to talking about Ryan Clark and no more Vardimus, plus this amazing girl power episode and this trend that Legacies is doing a good job at having. Plus, we got some news from Miss Shiksha. We have our special segment, The Merge, so make sure you continue to watch and be brainstorming who is your favorite duo and your least favorite duo, so that way you can chime in with us when we get to The Merge. And then lastly, we'll talk about our predictions. So, Shiksha, Take it away. What were your thoughts of this episode?
It was interesting. It wasn't what I expected, but I love the show so much. There's not an episode that I don't like. I obviously enjoyed this one. It wasn't as action-packed as last week or 2 weeks ago, but still really fun to watch, so I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. I think I even kind of had the thought process, and I think I believe I said to you, was that 2 weeks ago, the episode felt like a mid-season finale, and we discussed that because it gave us so much to digest that this episode just kind of moved the needle only a little bit, but it gave us obviously the big information at the end, but it just kind of was like, this was just kind of a pause episode for me, but again, I'm excited. We got one more episode next week for the mid-season finale.
Yeah.
And so with that, let's just go ahead and dive in. I just want to talk really quick about the beginning of this episode. Because I think that's really what set the tone. Was the very first scene we see Landon walking through the school. Mm-hmm. And he has this long monologue that he's saying in the background with the sad song and everything. And there's a shot where Vardimus gives Landon a really, really creepy look. Mm-hmm. And immediately I was like, oh, that's going to set the tone for this whole episode. And then that was how I knew initially that Landon was going to be the focal point, which we knew about the two Landons. So what did you think of their plot and their plan to have these two Landons?
I thought it was interesting.
Okay.
You're just talking about the idea of having
Right?
Yeah, it was pretty cool, actually. It added comedic relief with
Simon Landon.
Yeah, I liked that a lot because it really showed us what Landon was thinking, especially considering they weren't going to have him choose someone at the end. Yeah. So it kind of told us, okay, if he had to choose, he would choose Hope.
Yeah.
And it was just funny. So I liked it. It was a little bit different. That's what I love about this show is that they're so creative. You never know what they're going to throw at us next. You know, you had the video game, you had all kinds of crazy stuff. Yeah. So I really loved that. Actually.
Yeah, I agree with you. But I will say, so I really thought when we got the teaser that there was going to be two Landons, my initial thought process was he has some long lost sibling, et cetera, that has, I don't know what I thought, but I thought this was going to be a real person that was coming. Like, I thought we were going to actually have two Landons kind of for the long haul, not just for this episode. And I was really curious, and my brain was churning about how we're going to have two Landons, but I like the way they did it. I like the fact that I just enjoyed how they set it up because we have the, we'll get to the girl power squad in a little bit, but I just really like how they started it off by the three of them sitting, guarding the Malivore pit. And that's kind of what all this is centered around.
Yeah.
And then the fact that Hope and Josie are having a tiff and Landon, I mean, whoa, all these people, y'all. So many names, so many thoughts. Hope decides to give Josie the prism of Landon. And that was, I thought, really big of her.
Yeah.
And then the fact that then Josie was able to take that and use the prism to come to the conclusion of doing the subconscious Landon. It was like, whoa, we're really coming full circle
quickly here. Yeah. It was also cool that it gave Josie the opportunity to let her feelings out.
Yeah.
Because she was able to talk to the prism Landon honestly and just, you know, kind of give it to him. Like, how could you be doing this? Why haven't you decided? Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera. Which I think we needed and she needed too to kind of talk it out with the person she does love.
Yeah.
I just, the whole thing is so messed up, you know, because they can't really be mad at each other.
I know.
But they are, but they're not. It's,
Well, because going back to last season, Hope and Josie had the strong relationship, not Hope and Lizzie. And so the fact that now that Josie has all of her memories back, it's like, I'm actually really fond of this person, but I'm also hurt because we're now going after the same guy. Uh-huh. So I understand why Josie feels conflicted. But if I was Josie, if I was going to be mad at anyone, I would be mad at Lizzie because she knew and she didn't tell her.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true. Would you be mad at Lizzie though? Because she was just trying to protect.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I would be understanding, but I would still be annoyed basically that my sister wouldn't come to me.
Yeah. I would be too. I'd be like, dang it. Like, we have the sister code. Yeah. You have to tell me. But I also understand she was just trying to protect her sister.
Yeah. I think she was trying to protect both of them in reality.
Yeah, that's true. So I, fun fact, was rewatching the first episode of season one because my family wanted to see the show because I was so excited about it over Thanksgiving. And in the first episode, I forgot about this, guys. Let me know if you remember. But that's when Raph came into the school with Landon. And Josie and Lizzie were after Raph. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And now
like episode one, season one?
Yeah,
yes.
They were after Raph.
Yep, I remember this.
And then Hope was in the mix too. And Landon was just on the wayside.
Yeah.
I mean, so it's just funny to me now that it's all about Landon and it's not at all about Raph.
Yeah, we'll touch on Raph a little bit now since you brought him up. But with him, I haven't understood at all what the writers are trying to do with him this season. Because we've only gotten little bitty tastes of Raph. And then now we saw that this whole episode, he was encouraging Landon to get out of Mystic Falls.
Yeah.
And even prior to really talking to the Sphinx, he kind of had all these suspicions. And obviously he has his own issues going on.
Yeah.
But he's been really encouraging that. And then the fact that the last scene, we see that the two of them are leaving Mystic Falls together. I'm just curious because, so what now? You know, like, when are we going to get them back? Where are they going? I have so many questions about what they're doing.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what they're doing with Raph's story. Yeah. Because he's such an important character. He's a werewolf, you know, he was the alpha. And then all of a sudden, nothing about him or any of it. So, I love the bromance between him and Landon and the fact that they're not willing to do anything to hurt the other.
Yeah. Oh, they're ride or die for each other.
I think that's probably one of my favorite relationships in this whole show is that bromance. But, I think he's just kind of there as like a support dog almost. Dog.
Wow. Support wolf.
Yeah, support wolf for Landon.
Yep.
I really hope they do more with his story. And I think that adding the Hope into the mix with Raph, even though I'm a huge Hope fan, I don't think it's smart right now because it'll again mix Landon into it. Raph needs to have his own story and his own thing.
I agree. I think, speaking on that, and if you're watching live with us right now, let us know in the live chat before we get to predictions because we'll talk about this more then. But I'm going to drop just a little taste there. When the Sphinx gave us his final message in the end, when he brought up the wolf has multiple faces, I think he said that, don't crush me, because we watched it quickly, but he said he alluded to something about the wolf, and To me, it can only be about Landon. I mean, only be about Roth, but...
Was it the wolf has multiple faces or somebody has...
I want to say... I know there was a part about the wolf and it triggered in my brain that I was like, oh, that's interesting because I wonder if that's going to be Roth's new storyline.
Yes. So when he said that about the wolf, I thought the same thing. Yeah. But when he said the two faces, weirdly enough, I thought of MG because he has that other side of him that he has a hard time controlling.
Yeah.
And I thought that maybe that was their way of bringing that back. I don't know.
Is anyone in the live chat saying anything?
Yeah, we have Gracian Ryan saying, Raph is this show's Matt.
Huh. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
But
even Donovan had more of oomph to his storyline.
Yeah, I want them to do more with him. They did so much season one.
Yeah, I love his character, and Peyton Alex Smith does an amazing job, so I want more. We all want more. We've been saying that since episode one. We want more.
We want more Raph. And Ted B saying, Landon and Raph are going to get themselves hurt. They only lasted this long because of the girls. I agree, though. Girl power. The girls are amazing, and they have been protecting everybody.
Like, let's be honest, they are the super squad.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what? Speaking of the chat, I just wanted to take a quick second to thank all of you for being here, talking to us. You guys are the ones that make us the ESPN of TV Talk at AfterBuzz TV. You're in the chat. I'm here talking to you guys. We're shouting you guys out. While you're here, make sure to hit that thumbs up button and that subscribe button because you love us as much as we love you. And make sure to hit 5 stars on Spotify or iTunes if that's how you're listening to this. Once again, we love you guys. We love being here with you guys. So thank you.
Yes, we really, really do appreciate you and all of your comments every single week. It makes this show so much fun by you being an extension of us. So... Still,
oh my gosh,
what?
Wait. Billy Jean Girl 24 is saying, if Raph is this show's Matt, then Landon is this show's Elena.
Oh gosh, let's not.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
I know. He is the show's Elena. That's crazy.
This is true. This is true, especially between Hope and Josie. Wow. That's a good conclusion to come to right there.
And one more. Dan is saying, next episode is about Raph learning about his pack and wolf family. I hope so, because we need it.
Same. Yeah, need it. But speaking of Raph still, he's the one who finds or gets the most information out of the Sphinx, really.
Yes.
What did you think of the monster of the Sphinx? We've had so many creative monsters. What did you just think of the Sphinx?
It was really interesting. I want to know if it's true that he can't lie. Okay. Remember, he said he can't lie.
Yep.
Because then what he said... I was a little confused because of what he said about the new monster and sending Landon away.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know whether or not to trust what he said unless it's true that they can't lie.
Well, I think that's the whole point of him is that his riddles try and make you doubt what is true and what is not. And he words things in a way that unless you know exactly what he's saying, it can just make your brain just twist and turn. Yeah. And that's really what happened in that last... I guess, prophecy that he gave us, because even when he said, like, the greatest evil, or, again, this isn't exact, people, but he basically said love at the end is the greatest destroyer, right?
Yeah.
And so I was like, is that what he's talking about, that he's his new master, is love? Like, I was just bizarrely confused.
It's
because
gotta be.
Knowing the writers, there's going to be an actual monster. That's just how the show goes.
Yeah.
But... is there like a hidden undertone of love? Because remember, even we discussed this, that one of the underlying themes of the show was loneliness this season. And so now are we pivoting to love for the second half or the spring half of this season?
Oh, you're twisting my brain.
Sorry.
I don't know what to think anymore.
I'm giving you thought vomit. Yeah. I'm giving you thought vomit. I'll give you all here. Okay, so we'll just talk about the Sphinx.
Yeah.
So the Sphinx. Yeah, I thought he was really unique.
Yeah,
I thought that the writing was really well done because coming up with riddles like that,
it takes
a special skill. Yeah. I can't lie. I definitely didn't think of the man one when it was like starts on 4 feet, then goes to 2 and like
and
ends
apparently
on 3.
That's the most basic one, but I didn't
know
that either.
According to Sphinx 101 their classes.
Yeah, it was creative.
Yeah, I thought it was really neat, and especially the fact that they're twisting it because, again, without getting to predictions, but like, are we done with Malivore? No.
But they have to still close that story.
Yeah.
But going back to the love thing, so do you think he pushed Landon away from the school because Landon has the love story with either Josie or Hope?
Man, I don't
probably
know.
Hope.
I don't know. You or know? Is it the love of Malivore for his son? I don't know.
No. No, Haley.
Okay, well, speaking of the love of sons, we got the epic showdown between Malivore's two children,
yes,
in Ryan Clark and Landon.
I liked it.
But before Ryan Clark, we have to do our due diligence and say goodbye to Professor Vardy forever.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you think the real Vardy will come?
Maybe.
Yeah, I want him
maybe,
to come and
but,
be like a good guy.
But I did like how they kind of wrapped that for us. I really did. And
yeah,
the fact that we
they
got...
They didn't just disappear or something.
Agreed, yeah. And the fact that we got a nice little subplot in there between Alaric and Dorian. I thought that they're really doing a good job of covering their bases here as far as how it's written. And the mm-hmm. fact that we know that Vardy is gone, so there's an empty headmaster position.
Yes.
So I appreciated the fact that Dorian and Alaric could come together to solve the mystery of who Vardimus is.
Mm-hmm.
And then ultimately now there's going to be an opening, and I would only assume that Alaric takes
yes.
his rightful position.
Please.
Yeah.
I've been saying it all season. That's been one of the biggest things lacking for me is
yeah.
Alaric not being at the school.
Yep.
And he's already starting to take charge, right? Because
mm-hmm.
with the whole Josie thing.
He evacuated the school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I love that. I loved seeing him in that position.
Yep.
And I pray that they bring him back, especially because he's connected with Josie.
Mm-hmm.
Dorian is now saying that I was wrong.
Yeah.
I was so happy. Like, yes.
And for me, too, I like the warmth that Alaric brings
yeah.
to this show.
Yeah.
You know, like that moment in the beginning where he sees Hope for who she is and who she was
mm-hmm.
and the way that he embraced her and just hugged her. And again, going back to like how they've always had this father-daughter relationship,
mm-hmm.
I appreciate it. I like the warmth he brings. I like the passion. I like the compassion that he has for
mm-hmm.
all of his students. So I'm hoping that they continue because, again, I think we discussed this, that we didn't really know what they were doing with him either.
Yeah.
And now I think that they're going to segue to him back being
Finally.
Back as the headmaster, and it'll be good stuff.
Yeah, I think that the only reason he was kicked out of the school is because they wanted to bring Vardy in.
Yeah.
And they wanted
yeah.
him to affect Josie.
For
so
sure.
So he had to be out of the picture.
For sure.
Right? But now he can be back. I just wonder what's going to happen about Ethan and Maya. Because if he's no longer the headmaster there, he's there.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll figure it out. The writers always do a good job of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do know is that Vardy, we learned this 2 weeks ago, but Vardy was Ryan Clark in disguise. And
yes.
Ryan Clark the whole time has been using this black magic to, he tells us, to, that's how he was keeping his form. So when we saw several episodes back when he was eating the creature in the woods, it was because that was how he was maintaining his
mm-hmm.
form. So I always thought that that was his way of getting strength, and the black magic was his getting strength.
Mm-hmm.
But that was just him literally keeping his body.
Yeah.
So that's, to me, what he was using Josie for, because she was an easy access
oh.
to the dark magic to keep his form.
Yeah.
And he needed her to, at the same time, use enough to get strong enough for the trident.
Yes.
Which, talk about this not being like Little Mermaid trident, because
yeah.
tridents are apparently kind of evil and very powerful. Well, I always knew they're powerful, but
yeah.
in this case, the trident was used to create this massive super weapon that Josie basically created. And in doing so, she brought Ryan Clark completely to the surface.
Yes.
What did you think? What was your thoughts as this was going on? Like, did you know immediately that Ryan Clark was gonna emerge?
No, I didn't. That surprised me because, you know, nobody else knows who he is.
Yeah.
So for him, he could walk without getting noticed
mm-hmm.
as Vardy. So for him to just take that form...
Yeah.
He's obviously crazy,
yeah.
and he just wanted to get what he wanted,
yep.
so he wasn't thinking about it. But, yeah, that surprised me. I liked the trident idea. That was
yeah.
interesting. The whole scratching me puts the subconscious...
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
No,
That's
I thought...
Cool.
Yeah, I thought
yeah.
it was cool, too, and especially because, like, the whole trident, tribrid, like, all
mm-hmm.
of that he wanted to use it on Hope. I was like, this is... this is being really, really well done. I do. There is a part of me that I wish that Alaric and Dorian would have stormed in to like save the day right as Josie like passed out, you know, and Ryan Clark's still in there and they had like this big showdown. But instead, we get the showdown with Landon because Ryan Clark immediately has on his ring. He goes to Hope's room, who Hope has just given away all of her blood. Not all of it,
but, you
know.
Talk about how much of a badass she is, though? Because she has no blood, and she's still fighting this guy.
You saw my face. Okay, yes, she was a badass, but my face is saying she always has to be the martyr somehow, and so that's why she gave away her blood, so that way, I mean, technically, Samuel Landon was the ultimate martyr here. But, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, of course we have to add some drama here and make Hope not be all powerful.
Well, you know I get annoyed by the whole she's always a martyr thing. But I don't know. I kind of like this today's episode. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel that way just because
you felt like she was humanized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was fighting and she was being a badass.
Her freaking like, move. Like Daniel Rose Russell, like, did you learn that just for this episode? Or like, do you just actually know all of those fantastic fighting moves? Because if you do, that's incredible. But yeah, like the leading up to that scene and the way that she's still, what I really appreciate about Hope is that she uses her wits and she's just so resourceful,
mm-hmm.
you know, she does a really good job of outsmarting him and physically beating him.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah, she didn't have her magic.
Badass.
Yeah, she didn't have her magic, but she still got it.
Yeah.
We have Carlos Hernandez saying, yeah, I thought that was dumb. Just after they realized Barty is Clark, why didn't they come storming in to look for him?
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
They should have. I mean, come on, guys.
Yeah. I that was that's pretty much like the point I was making. It just that felt a little off, but then again, it was to lead up to the dramatic moment of Simon Landon being the one that comes in and kind of saves Hope. And I have to say, guys, I called this so early on.
Yeah, you did. She really did, guys.
It was probably almost as soon as we saw Ryan, or shortly after when he was kind of chasing Hope around, I knew immediately what was going to happen.
We watched the show together before this, and she literally paused it and said, this is what's going to happen, I promise you. And then that's what happened.
And I did not cheat on Twitter. I did not, because I told her before that I had not gotten on Twitter to see any spoilers.
Yeah, exactly. No, she had, and you guessed it. I was like, wow, damn.
Because they do such a great job of making sure that everything is done for a reason. There's no coincidences in this show. And so the fact that Simon Landon was created to be the subconscious of Landon and to do the things that Landon wouldn't do, and the fact that, again, claps to Simon Landon for being brave enough to say, hey, Landon's a coward, because he is. And but I will say, I think they tried to trick us by when he brings up the fact Landon's a coward, real Landon is listening on. So for a minute, I could see if you were watching, you would think that real Landon then is the one who decided to step up, you know, not be a coward and try and be his savior moment, how he does. I could see them trying to work that in. It didn't fool me, though.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so I thought it was cool. They have their showdown and the Trident gets stabbed into Landon. Ryan Clark's subconscious goes into him, and we know that he was going to, at the apex, he was going to basically evaporate or no longer exist.
Right.
But the one thing I got to ask you, why the heck did they leave Ryan Clark's body?
I don't know. That was so dumb.
There were so many times. All of the, everything that transpired after that. And I guess we can like start talking about this girl power, because the next couple scenes, it's they're looking after Josie. We're seeing how Hope's doing. All of them have this bonding moment. But then meanwhile, no one went to go look for Ryan Clark's body.
Yeah, that doesn't, that I think was
like, leave the mud man out there. Nothing will happen to him.
Yeah, but I also just think that everybody was so preoccupied.
For sure, 100%.
Yeah, it wasn't like it was the next day.
I wanted to be like, Dorian, this is kind of like the things you think about.
Yeah.
Like, go get the body.
Yeah, he was too busy, you know, reuniting with Alaric, so I guess. But you're right, they should have taken care of that body because it's going to lead to bigger problems later.
Which we kind of started to see tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And in the previews that we're not done with Ryan Clark as much as we probably all hope
we are.
Yeah,
which is interesting. I wonder how that's going to play out.
I know.
But is this the end of Malivore?
That's what you were asking before.
I know.
We'll talk about it in predictions.
Okay.
But yes, this girl power moment was super awesome because I just like Lizzie. I do.
I love her so much.
And I like what they're doing with her character. She is just that constant reinforcement that women are awesome, women are powerful, and she just really keeps that storyline going this episode because, you know, she lets them have their moment, and the moment of Josie and Hope have reconciled.
Yeah.
And
finally.
Yes.
Gosh.
What did you think? Because I'm conflicted here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of Hope asking Josie if she could come back to the school?
I think that was a good move because it was respecting Josie and her space. And I think that, because of all the tension that's been going on there, I think Hope just didn't want to come back to that drama.
Yeah.
And I think that was actually the most mature thing she could have done.
For sure.
Because she could have come back and there would have, the tension between her and Josie would have remained.
Yeah.
But by coming to her and saying, you know, I just miss you.
Yeah.
Because none of this is our fault. Mm-hmm. You know, she didn't say that, but that's what she was implying. I just miss you. I want to come back. Are you okay with it? Like,
yeah,
I loved it.
She definitely addressed it well. And let me know in the comments what you think, because I was conflicted in the sole fact that I didn't think that it was necessary. I understand why the communication needed to happen, but I don't think it was necessary for Hope to just be as upfront and saying, mm-hmm. hey, is it okay with you if I come back?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be one thing if they never got their memories back, but Josie said it herself, Hope belongs in that school.
Yeah.
So there's no need for her to ask Josie and kind of almost give Josie that even more validation and power that she kind of already is starting to emulate this season, you know, that she has like this control over people. And I was a little bothered by it because I just didn't think that Hope should have done that.
I see your side.
Yeah.
I understand.
Again,
what you're saying.
I said I'm conflicted because I understand why it happened, but I also just wish that it hadn't.
Okay, I'm actually glad. I'm really happy they did it because it's getting rid of all that bad energy and they're just going to be friends again.
For
hopefully.
Sure, which we know Josie needed to get rid of some bad energy.
Yes.
I guess just more so I wish she'd have just approached it as saying, Josie, I am sorry. I didn't want any of this to happen. I never intended to hurt you. I want us to go back to being how we were. I'm going to come back to the school, and I want us to have a fresh start. You know, like, I just kind of wish she would have gone at it that way rather than being like, Josie, can I come back to the school?
That's fair. Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah.
Again, I was conflicted. So I just wanted to know your thoughts. I want to know all of your thoughts, anyone that's watching with us right now.
We have Myra Lyra saying, but Hope felt that she hurt Josie.
True.
Gracian Ryan is saying, I think Hope still feels she doesn't belong, and she still cares for her, too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I mean, yeah. It's
Which
true.
Is true. Like we know those things, but I'm happy to know that Hope will be sticking around, and our little girl power squad is going to keep fighting all the evil and doing good things in Mystic Falls. So with that, you have some news for us, don't you, Shiksha?
I do indeed. All right, guys. Time for some news.
Some news and gossip with Shiksha Mattani.
Okay, guys. So a couple of weeks ago, Hope revealed that she had a crush on Josie when she was younger. Do you remember that? Now, the actress who plays Hope, Danielle Rose Russell, talked about her reaction to this with TV Line. She said, quote, I was like, this is weird timing considering there's this whole love triangle thing going on. But I guess I always knew that Hope was pretty sexually fluid, so that didn't shock me. I'm glad that the writers established it in the real world instead of an alternate universe so it can be a real thing. They can leave that there now and we can move forward onto other things. If it ever makes sense for Hope and Josie to get together, it makes sense. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, but Josie revealed in season one that she had a crush on Hope 3 years before the show began.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there is a possibility for Hope and Josie romance in the future, a.k.a. Hosey.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's...
Not dope.
Jope. Okay, you guys, you decide. Hosey or Jope?
I'm kidding, I'm Jope.
I think... Oh, yeah, okay, Hosey, but that's not good either.
Yeah, that's not great either.
So yeah, but this is just really advanced for the Vampire Diaries universe. I love how much the world has evolved. Yeah. Can you imagine Elena saying she had a crush on Caroline 10 years ago?
No, I agree. Yeah. Like, I think I love that they're keeping this an open possibility and just very much incorporating the real world and what's happening on the show.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that. Let us know if you are all for a Hosey relationship in the future.
A Hosey Jope.
Yes. Speaking of Vampire Diaries, I have news about both the Salvatore brothers.
Ooh.
Yeah. First, the actor who plays Damon Salvatore, Ian Somerhalder, is in a new series called V-Wars. And while this information has been out for a while now, I mention it because it came out today. All 10 episodes of the first season are out on Netflix as of today. So go watch it, you guys. Support Damon or Ian. The description for the show reads, a doctor is pitted against his best friend when an ancient disease turns people into vampires. So it'll be interesting to see Ian play a character who is just finding out about vampires.
Oh.
Right?
I'm so intrigued because I've seen stuff about Ian Somerhalder, like, being on V-Wars, but I had no idea what it was going to be. And, wow, that's
He's
so fascinating.
He's the doctor that finds out about this disease that's making
that's
people vampires.
Amazing.
It's so weird. He's, like, on the other side of things now.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it. So, and as for the other Salvatore brother, Stefan, played by Paul Wesley, he just went on an episode of Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen on Monday. On the show, he talked about his thoughts on the Vampire Diaries ending. He said, quote, I feel good about it, but I honestly think both brothers should have died. I would have liked it if we both died and that all of Elena's memories was wiped out and she went on to live a normal life and forget that we ever existed.
What?
Yeah.
I think
that would have been really nice. So all you Vampire Diaries know that Stefan did die in the end, but Damon did not. The actor went on to say about his death, I was very happy that he died, and I actually had requested that he die because he did a lot of bad things, and I felt like he deserved death. Can you imagine if both brothers had died? Because I was so upset about Stefan dying.
I would have been very, very annoyed.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was to give Elena a happy life, I don't know. It was such a big part of her life.
Damon and Elena were the key thing. This is Stefan being a little salty that he wasn't the one that ended with Elena. That's what I'm thinking this is about. But with that, is that all we got for news and gossip?
Yes, that is
awesome.
All for tonight.
That was great. Oh my gosh. I really might binge watch V-Wars this weekend. Let me know if anyone else is going to do the same. Now it's time for our favorite time of this episode. We're going to do The Merge.
The Merge.
Our special segment. If you are listening to us, The Merge is what this whole season has kind of started off to be about. We know that Josie and Lizzie, the Saltzman twins, eventually are going to have to merge when they're 22 years old. But before that happens, we've decided to make it our special segment. So, brainstorm. We've already done this. Who is your best duo and who is your worst duo? Basically, who would survive the merge and who would not? Go, Shiksha.
Okay. Oh, God. This is hard. I think the best duo for me this week was Alaric and Dorian because they're finally coming together.
That was one of mine. Yep.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about worst.
I'll go with my best while you brainstorm. So my best actually is Hope and Josie.
Okay.
Because
I see that.
They made so much growth this episode that I was just really proud of the two of them and that they're finally back in a good place. And because of both of them, that's how we ended up getting to the point of having two Landons. And that's really why we are where we are, is because of the two of them. So
that's fair. I think the worst for me would probably be Vardy with Josie.
Yeah.
Or Ryan.
That was bad.
Yeah, that was really bad. I don't like how he's manipulating her and stuff.
My worst duo kind of doesn't exist, but it does. My worst duo is the two Landons.
Oh.
Because I just wanted Simon Landon to keep sticking around because of his comic relief being amazing. And just the fact that Landon took nothing away from Simon Landon's existence. Like, bruh, yeah. It was your subconscious. Everyone knows what you're thinking now. You might as well start owning up to it. But instead, he's running away and just writes a letter with Penelope's pen.
I was really mad that Landon ran away.
Yeah.
That really upset me. I'm not going to lie.
Totally a Landon move, so.
It's very much a Landon move, but yeah. Still pissed me off a little bit. So, okay, we have people in the chat saying, Ted B is saying, worst duo is Landon and Raph. Oh, okay. Landon and Raph, worst.
That's fine, because Raph is the one who convinced him to go.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. We have Ivan Soto saying, best is Simon Landon and Hope. Oh, yeah, that was cute.
They are
and
cute.
Worst was Clark and Hope. Okay.
Yeah.
But
Clark
see.
Won that one. Let's be honest. If they merged, Clark is... Hope is victorious.
Yes. We have Logan Knight saying, best is Hope and Lizzie. Worst was Landon and Raph. So two for Landon and Raph. Look at that. Gratian is saying, worst Raph and Landon. Best Josie and Hope. Yes. Hosey. So yeah, you guys are pretty much agreeing with each other.
Yeah, and with us. So... All right, now it's time to get to the nitty-gritty of predictions. Yeah.
Okay. So, oh, God. So, I think the end of Malivore is near.
Yeah.
But we're not, obviously, there yet.
Yeah.
Because we saw in the coming for next week that Ryan is still around somehow.
Like, whether he's a spirit or his body is actually back, we just know that Ryan is going to make an appearance again.
I think that... Because next week is the mid-season finale, the person under the red cloak is somebody we're not thinking of. It's going to be somebody close.
Well, don't we know that one of the red one of the red coats is MG's mom?
No, that's what we guessed.
Oh, okay.
Guessing
I'm
that.
Still guessing that.
Well, we don't know that.
Because they've created the eye. Remember the eye thing? It only showed up. It was in the end of the episode 2 weeks ago, and it came back at the very first scene of this one that the eye was watching them in the hallway.
Yeah, really creepy.
Yeah.
So there are three, right?
Yep.
Red hoods.
That we've seen.
So one could definitely be MG's mom, but I think that one, the big reveal for the mid-season finale that's going to get us all up in arms is going to be somebody we know and love.
The sheriff.
What about Dorian?
Oh, yeah. I kind of just decided to boldly guess the sheriff because it was going to be really out there.
To bring her back in the picture.
Yeah, it was going to be really out there. Dorian, that's interesting.
We haven't seen much of him this season.
That is interesting. And he's stuck around just enough to still be clued into what's going on.
Yep. It won't be Alaric for sure. It won't be the twins for sure.
Nope. I don't think it'll be any of the main characters. It has to be a character of a supporting role.
Yeah, so Dorian. Oh my goodness, you
that
guys.
That makes sense. It also makes sense because why else would they never have, alluded to him becoming headmaster?
Yeah.
Like, he has some greater purpose, and it's to be the redhead.
Yeah, he's got something else that's coming. But honestly, if that's the case, that will make me really sad.
I know, if he ends up being evil.
That would really suck if he's
Because
evil,
maybe
yeah.
he just actually isn't over all the stuff that happened last semester.
Yeah.
And then the other thing that we talked about in our predictions, which is crazy, is the fact that it looks like they're over the Salvatore crypt.
Oh yeah. Somebody mentioned that in the I think it was Billie Jean who mentioned that happened. And I didn't notice that until it was said in the chat. That was interesting, and I wonder if that's symbolic in any way.
Well, I remember from Vampire Diaries that pretty much the Salvatore property, that was where all of Bonnie got her epic witch juju, and that was where she was always most powerful because, aren't they kind of like a triangle, like a tribrid something? Because remember, it was like when all the points come together, and if she's in the center of the point, that's where she was like most powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that has something to do with these Red Hood people because all the symbols they're making are just triangles.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I wonder.
The theme with Hope being a tribrid. We've got a theme of threes.
But she's
going
not
on.
A tribrid yet because she's not a vampire. So that has to happen this season, right? That she becomes a vampire. Maybe next half.
Yeah.
That she.
Yeah, it
goes
won't happen. It won't happen
change.
Next week. Yeah.
No, but it'll happen soon. We have Brandon Bowie saying, I feel like the new villain that the Sphinx alluded to will be after the twins, because somehow Kai is behind it. I feel like Malivore will eventually...
Oh, we do have Kai in episode 10 or 12, I think. Something like that.
And he said, I feel like Malivore will eventually get a human body. That's so interesting. Kai is coming back.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Could he be worse? He's horrible.
Oh, he might be the destroyer that the Sphinx is actually...
Because he wants to break out of wherever he is. Yeah.
Oh.
Brandon Bowie, you got it. Oh my God. I
no,
hope you're right.
That's it. That has to be it. Yeah. That Kai is going to be the new thing that the Sphinx is going to worship.
Oh my God.
Or whatever, follow, whatever
Kai,
it is.
Yeah, because they're bringing Kai back. We know that for sure. We know how evil he really is. That makes sense.
That does make sense.
Oh my goodness.
Oh man, that's a good one.
Yeah. I wonder how that'll play out if that's true.
Yeah, and I think that, and the only reason why, you guys, I think that we're going to see the end of Malivore is because we know that there's going to be a new greater evil.
Yeah.
So we kind of can't have them both existing anymore.
No, Malivore's got to go.
Yeah.
That's it for Malivore.
I agree.
I think we end Malivore's story next week.
Yeah.
For the finale.
Oh, yeah.
And then we show the...
and we get a tease
Kai
of a
in
new...
the Red Hood? No.
Mm, could be. Probably not. There's no way he would be quiet that long.
No, and he's not coming back till February anyway.
Yeah.
So that can't be. Yeah. Okay. Huh. Interesting.
That one just threw me through a loop, but I liked it. All right, well, I think that's all the predictions I have.
Yeah, me
too. I guess kind of one more, just like some lighter predictions, that I think that Hope and Josie are going to continue to, they're going to continue to just be together and grow their friendship, and kind of this girl club is going to continue to blossom. Mm-hmm. And I think that after, maybe I'm hoping that we're going to get to see more of Roth's story, and that that's what him and Landon are going to go do, and then they're going to come back, and Landon's going to be like, hey guys, made my decision or something, and then Josie and Hope are just going to be like, yeah, thanks, but no thanks.
Oh,
I'm
that's
hoping
definitely
that,
happening.
I'm hoping this is going to be like a clean slate of all relationships, and then everyone can approach him new, because we're also going to have Sebastian, pretty much, we know for the most part, is going to come to the school.
Yeah, oh yeah, that, which will be really interesting.
Yeah.
To be with Caleb and MG.
I'm excited.
Yeah, me too.
I'm excited. So next week is, we already know it's going to be a Christmas-themed episode and our mid-season finale, but with that, that's all I got, folks.
Yes.
That's all I got for this week. So go ahead, Shiksha. Let them know where they can find you.
You can find me on all social media platforms at I am Bolly, B-O-L-L-Y, girl. And I'm on 6 after shows, so come check it out.
And I am your host, Haley Graves. You can find me on Twitter at Haley1, Graves2, and on Instagram, Haley Graves with 2 S's. That's HaleyGraveSS. Thanks so much for joining us, everyone. We'll see you next week for the mid-season finale.
Thank you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.